CAC and the board, but as council just pointed out, we do not have a quorum of the body. So we will come to order, we will not take attendance, and we'll get to our main event, which is Cordell Stillwell, Stillman, excuse me, is here from Sonoma Clean Power to talk about SCP's powers of energy programs. So Cordell, welcome.
Thank you.
And if you have questions, feel free to help. I will allow some public questions at the end.
I'm due to the timelines, so I just everybody hear me okay? Okay. I'm glad to see I wasn't the only one wearing a tie in this.
You're almost the only one.
Almost the only one.
Only the cool people.
See, my wife dresses me every morning. She calls me her full-size Ken doll. And she heard I was doing a radio interview this morning, so she put me in a tie. So she does. All right, well, specifically, that's to come down here and talk about our Drive Evergreen program, how we're working to try and get more electric vehicles on the roads in Sonoma County and Mendocino County. As a little background on Sonoma Clean Power, we do serve Sonoma County and Mendocino County. We added them just over a year ago, but that's the limit of our expansion at this point. So, why electric vehicles? Over half of the emissions, greenhouse gas emissions in Sonoma County come from the transportation sector. It used to be about 50%, but the forming of Sonoma Clean Power lowered our greenhouse gas content of all of our electricity so much it's now 65% of our emissions is transportation. So that's kind of in our charter that we go after greenhouse gas emissions, so we are taking a swing at electric vehicles. Our power mix, right there it says 42% renewable, it's actually up to 45, and we're 90% carbon free, because obviously we can't count the large hydro that's in our portfolio. We have a goal of having 10,000 EVs on Sonoma County and Mendocino County's roads by 2020, and 100,000 by 2030. So our concept is how do you develop, deploy a large number of electric vehicles? And I have to give full credit to Denver County in Colorado. That's where we got the idea. They did a program where they approached the dealers that had electric vehicles and said, give us the best discount we can on those vehicles, and we will advertise and drive customers to you. That was a fairly successful program. We thought we could improve on it. So we did talk to our dealers and see if they were interested. They definitely were. How we improved on it, our idea was to add an incentive from Sonoma Clean Power, not just the state incentive and the federal tax credit, which are kind of after the fact, but an incentive that was applied directly to the purchase price of the vehicle at the time of purchase. So we've run this program twice now, and first time in 2016, and second in 2017, and we learned some things with each one of those iterations. And there we go. One was we don't want to interrupt the EV sales cycle. We don't want to have people anticipating that this program is going to come every year or that it's going to be longer than it is. And I think we've made an attempt to do that. The other is overcoming the charge infrastructure barrier. And I'll talk a little bit about that when there's a slide further on. So our structure was that we sent out a request for proposals to all of the dealers in our county that supplied electric vehicles. And our idea was, and this was with the concurrence of the dealers, was that only one dealer from each OEM or each manufacturer would be selected in our territory. That, again, drives the customers to a specific dealer, and it also promotes competition between those dealers to partner with us on this program. So the potential is to get a really good discount from the dealers. The manufacturers, they have a standard discount that they apply that the dealers can play with, but we want all of that. So we tell our dealers to give us all of that, plus whatever you are going to cut off your bottom line, and we apply that to customers, and we drive customers to that specific dealer, just that dealer in our territory. provided that additional incentive to our customers through an online application. And they're able to enter their account number, their name and email address, and then within 2 or 3 days, we email them a certificate that's valid for 2000, well, depending on which program you're in, the incentive that was applied. So again, as I mentioned before, the dealers would apply that incentive at the time of lease or purchase. And that is required by our contract with our dealers. We sign contracts with our dealers to lock those in their discounts and our incentives in place. And that has to show up on the contract with the customer, the purchase contract or the lease contract, that shows the actual deduction of our incentive from the purchase price of the vehicle. That contract is then sent to a third party that is administering this project for us. That's the Center for Sustainable Energy out of San Diego. They've verified everything, make sure everything's verified, that the dealers have played fair, the incentive has been applied, and they then pay the dealer the incentive amount. We send a put an escrow account, they pull from the escrow account, and pay the dealers on a weekly basis. And that's the basic nuts and bolts of the program. As I mentioned, we run this twice. The first time in 2016, our basic incentive was $2,500 for a standard customer for Sonoma Clean Power. For our CARE and FIRA customers, low income customers, we had an additional $2,500 bonus for new vehicles.
Did you say new vehicles?
Yes.
Any vehicle?
New electric vehicles.
No used vehicles?
Not in that first program, no. That was something that we added in the second program. But for the second round, we dropped the incentive to $2,000 because we felt that we've been successful enough in the first round that we wanted to lower that down a little bit more and get more incentives out. And we dropped the CareFira an additional $1,000 as well, so only $3,500 for CareFira customers. And of course, customers still can apply for and receive the federal tax credit, the state incentive. We also have a local air pollution control district in the northern half of our town, Sonoma County, that was providing incentives as well, $3,000 per vehicle, $2,000 per loan account, and $1,000 for a charging station, only in the northern portion of our town. So that added a little twist to the whole thing, but made it very attractive to some of our northern Sonoma County customers. Any questions at this point?
What was the typical dealer's price for the car minus the incentives?
It varied from manufacturer to manufacturer. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Some of them were pretty spectacular. $12,500 off a Kia Soul if you had the manufacturer and the dealer reductions. I know the Volkswagen were very good as well. I'd have to go back and look.
$12,500 off the price, or
off
that was
the
actual price?
Off the price.
Okay.
One of the vehicles, I'm going to get to this next slide, but in round two, the Volkswagen E-Golf, when we calculated that the customer could take advantage of all of the potential incentives, they could get the car for about $5,500 to $6,000. I'm not sure we can do that well in our next round, but that's what it was last year. So in the first round, we only got two dealers that wanted to participate, BMW and Leaf. And the Leaf dealer was kind of funny. He told us after the fact that he was only selling about 5 electric vehicles a month. In a 10-week period, he sold 154. So definitely had an impact on the sales of electric vehicles in our territory. In round two, 2.0, we had 7 dealers. And those are the vehicles that were included in that round. And I'll get more into the results a little bit later.
So I have one more question. I've heard a lot of stories. They're anecdotal, but a lot of people have said that dealers just aren't
probably have to, we gotta get about 60% of them, because turnover. That answer your question?
Yeah.
Not particularly, I don't think. So before we get into the results of the program, there are some other things that we're doing with electric vehicles. We offer free charging stations to our customers. If you have an account with us for the next 3 days, we've been running this for about 3 years now, you can apply for and receive two level two charging stations from us free of charge. The customer pays the sales tax and the shipping and installation, but the hardware, we will give it to you. Also, in addition to that, we'll pay you $150 to sign up for our demand response program, which we're calling GoodSavvy. And then there's also a $5 credit to your bill every month if you remain enrolled in that. And we're working to aggregate as many of these charging stations together so that if we get a signal from the ISO that they want some reaction from us, we can do some demand response and hopefully monetize that in some way, not just for our customers, but for ourselves as well, for that investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any questions about that? It's a lot harder to do than we thought it would be, but we're on the cusp of sending a signal and getting a reaction from those charging stations. Yes?
Yeah, question. Are the chargers all the same hardware?
No, we offer three different charging stations. There's eMotorWorks, Aero Environment, and Clipper Creek. But they all have the same software from eMotorWorks for controlling the charging station. Yes.
Roughly, I understand the sales tax will change, and based on probably configuration, the installation cost might change, but yeah. Roughly, what's the cost to the customer going to put in the charging station?
If you have a you had an electric dryer in your garage and the T20 is already there and the panel's good, you know, a couple $100. Wow. If you have to upgrade your panel, run conduit, that sort of thing, it would be $2,000 or $3,000. It really depends on the configuration of your home and what you put the setup in your panel.
Okay. And how many of those have you installed?
We've shipped 1,800.
Wow.
I think we've got 600 or 700 signed up for GridSavvy, and I don't have a number of accounts that installed. Let me finish the point here. So I would not recommend doing this the way we did it. We run into some fraud situations. Some of our charging stations have shown up as far away as Massachusetts. It doesn't take long for people to figure out if you're giving them a free charger, they can throw it on eBay and pay the shipping and tax. Away it goes. So we are changing that program. I said 3 days left. So if you're somebody with our customer, 3 days left. We're going to change that to one per customer, and the customer pays 50% upfront, which we reimburse when it's activated in our service territory. So, lessons learned. We're not there. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So our 1.0 program. We sold or leased 206 vehicles in 2.5 months. There's the breakdown of lease versus purchasing, average vehicles per day. We expended $602,500 on the service, and $175,000 of that was for care of our customers. The dealer discounts, we totaled those up, and manufacturer discounts, and you can see those here on the slide as well. And now drum roll. 2.0, 567 vehicles sold or leased, 20 used vehicles, I think all of those were Nissan lease. There's a breakdown of purchase and lease, and averaging 5 vehicles sold per day. We did extend this program. It was originally scheduled to run for 3 months. We extended it to 4 because we had a little incident in Sonoma County where a lot of vehicles were lost, and we wanted to extend the program to have fire agents have a chance to take action. Little over $1 million that we spent in incentives. We saw a drop off in the care fair of customer participation, which we attributed to the drop in incentive. And $2,000 for our regular customers and $4,000, or $3,500 for a tractor.
But I mean, all four, or if you're, you know, kind of all up, like, okay, how much did SCP put in money for this vehicle to get, like, for on per vehicle basis?
Well, you can do the math there. I don't have a calculator, but there's 1.154 million and 567 vehicles. So
yeah.
That would be never that. Our used car incentive was only $1,000, and $2,000 for Carretera, because the value in the electric cars drops off significantly after they come off lease. And then on top of that, it's very difficult to figure out what the price of a used car is, because they all have different mileages, different features, different condition of the vehicle. So we average it out.
Is there any kind of like a credit? I mean, is there you know, like you can buy a certified pre-owned car from certain dealers. Is there any special process for certifying a pre-owned EV?
I believe BMW does that with their used EVs, but I'm not familiar with any other dealers or something like that.
Yeah, I had a question from the program management perspective, not from the customer perspective. You had fixed dates from this date to that date, the program, which customers knew that program is going to end up that date, right?
Correct.
So the numbers you're showing us may have left some customers who would have come, but they did not participate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have some kind of idea about that? There was some application that came later after the program was over?
We do have some information about that. We did surveys of both the customers that redeemed their certificates and those that didn't, and asking them why they didn't redeem their certificate. And I think in this round, 2.06% said they didn't have enough time to redeem it. So that's, we do have that data.
And the second part of the question was the program penetration, even within those months, was constrained by the budgeted program budget, or was it the number of customers coming forward?
The budget was not constrained. We had budgeted $2 million for incentives, and as you see, we get just over a million. Does that answer your
question? Yeah, it does. So you would have given more if there were more?
If there were more, yes. And again, we have $2 million budgeted this year as well.
But when we spoke prior, you mentioned that there's some seasonal constraints. I don't know if I'm stealing thunder for a later slide, or if you might speak
to that. We're trying to hit a sweet spot with the dealers, because and I think not completely successful with that. They have issues with year end. They're closing up their books at the end of the year, and our first round kind of rolled into that because it was through January, and so we moved it forward a little bit in the next round. There's also when model years hit, and they had trouble with some of the dealers had model years changing in the middle of our program, so that can be an issue as well. Volkswagen is interesting because it's 2018 and they're still selling 2017 vehicles, and so people were upset that they were going in and buying last year was they were buying 2016 vehicles in 2017, but that's just the way they run their model year.
So I may have missed this in your previous slides. This adds up to approximately $11,500 discount per car.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much of those dealer and manufacturer discounts would have been available, you know, without this program?
We know that the manufacturer's discount is the same.
It's the same, but regardless of the program.
Right. A customer can go in, and if they're savvy enough, they can
get that discount.
Yeah, jump down the guy's throat and hit a road or play out dealers and
right.
Get that discount.
Okay.
The point of this is that the dealer gives us that up front because they're not going to get people bid shopping,
right.
Jumping from dealer to dealer and trying. And they don't have to spend time with multiple quotes and things of that nature. So they like this.
Is that true with the dealer discount too, or was that special for your program?
That's, I don't know about the dealer discount. They have some latitude about how much they're going to make off the car. And what we discovered is that some of these dealers, they're losing money on each one of these cars, but they make it up at the end of the year because they get a bonus for the number of cars they sold. So it was worth to them to have a
I know that maintenance of EVs is much less expensive than maintenance on internal combustion. The dealers talk to you at all about how that impacts, like how they look at this differently, or have they figured out how to look at that in terms of just the life cycle, you know, value of that of a vehicle?
I have not gotten into that with them. You're absolutely right. They make a lot of their money on maintenance.
Yeah.
And that's one of the issues we have, is that we've tried to break this program into Mendocino County. And we sold only 17 vehicles up there last round. And the dealers up there, they don't even want to talk to us. They're so focused on the internal combustion engine. On top of that, what they tell us is that they can only sell the electric vehicles if they qualify their maintenance staff to maintain them. And that takes sending their maintenance staff to special classes, that special equipment they have to buy, and they're not willing to do that for the number of vehicles that are going to be sold in that town. All right, so that's 2.0 results. And all of these results are available. We have a very great interactive map of Stone and Mendocino counties. You can hover over the zip codes and see how many vehicles were sold in each zip code, which vehicles were sold. It's a really great tool that CSE put together for us. We also have two documents that are go over the programs in detail with evaluation and recommendations for the next round. And it goes into everything from how many free riders there were, and even if you just read the executive summary, you learn a lot about how this program is put together. We are going on with 3.0 starting August 1st. One of the changes we made is we're still going with a $2,000 incentive, but we've raised the Carafira incentive to $4,000. It's amazing how the difference between what people think of $3,500 and $4,000. It's not a lot, but it's a lot to bring. We lost Mercedes-Benz as a dealer because they stopped making their electric car, but we gained Chrysler because of their Pacifica minivan. So we're hoping to sell a lot of minivans. The criteria we set for which vehicles can participate is not all electrics or all plug-in hybrids. We based it on what our transportation agency said was the average round trip in Sonoma County, which was 25 miles. So our vehicles have to have a minimum of 30 miles an hour. So it's for both plug-in hybrids and all electric vehicles. And that is the presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm sure there will be some.
Yeah, I had a question about the dealers who did not or were not able to be selected by.
They were pissed.
Yes. Was there a pushback on some grounds?
Yes. Yes, there was. We kept meticulous records of who we had sent the proposal the RFP to and who had responded and so on. So we were actually threatened with legal action by one of the Chevy dealers when we saw the other dealer selling these 184 Chevy Bolts in a long period. And the threatened legal action, very funny details, but we were able to show them that they had received multiple communications from us to participate in this program, and I chose not to. Always cover your bases. It's gotten to the point now where, and again, this is a car dealer world, and unfortunately, it's kind of not fair to some dealers, but we've discovered that if one dealer sells a whole lot of one vehicle, the manufacturers will then assign them more of those vehicles to sell. And they will take them away from other dealers. So we've created unfortunately, a little uncompetitive advantage for some of our dealers by doing this, by working with them on these programs. We do a lot of advertising for this. We budget about, say, $200,000 to $250,000 in marketing alone. And we get all the standards, you know, billboards, print, radio, television, social media, and what we found is that the print media has been the most effective, and that the social media was actually not effective at all. So we're changing our marketing strategy to take advantage of what we've learned from this program.
Yeah, one of the ancillary program like this is you increase the visibility of Sonoma Clean Power through the marketing and through the exciting
Oh, absolutely.
Product. Do you have any evidence of that or any data on that?
Not any particular data, but just, you know, we certainly have a higher presence because of this. People talk about the cars that they buy. People talk about the cars they drive. If one of your friends drives an electric vehicle, you want to know about it. You get a ride in and say, how does this work? How did you get that? Oh, it's got a great deal from Sonoma Clean Power. It's a volunteer. You were next,
yeah. In terms of the distribution grid, have you figured out what the demand is from the electric vehicles in terms per vehicle? Or
no, we haven't gotten that granular in the analysis. Right now, they're spread pretty thin in general compared to the load. So I doubt we've seen any real impact on the electric grid from this point.
Yeah, you've expanded to used vehicles. I'm wondering if you're still sticking just with dealerships or if you figured out another way to broaden it for people that are buying used vehicles that want to qualify.
We've stuck with the dealerships because we've got a kind of a centralized location. We have a mechanism for working with them. If we had to go out to a larger number, the maintenance and the administration of that, it would get pretty daunting, I think. So at this point, we're sticking with the dealers alone. And to be honest, this is the last time we're going to do this. We think we've taken the cream off the top, and there's enough vehicles out there now that it should some type of market transformation. We're hoping it's taking place from at least in Sonoma Medicine from this program.
Yeah, following up on the distribution question, I think it was in 2017 SEP put out a study on smart charging and the advantages of smart charging. More recently, LVL put out a study that really spoke about V1G or control charging and the advantages of that aspect of smart charging, where you could charge electric vehicles in the middle of the day to tap down on the intermittency and even avoid curtailment. So that I think there's some real economic advantages there for the smart charging. Do you guys have any current plans or future plans for smart charging?
Absolutely. The Grid Savvy project that I mentioned before is aimed at that. And what we're trying to do is aim that at the evening peak. And people are charging their AVP, you want to ramp that down or shut it off and turn it back on at 11 o'clock. We also are working with some of our larger employers to try and develop workplace charging and working in conjunction with PG&E's charging, it's not charging America, what's the first called? I forget.
Electrify. Oh, PG&E, sorry, not that now.
So yeah, we're trying to partner partner up our larger employers with PG&E's program. Help them get 20 grid chargers at a time for daytime charging.
You said print media was the most impactful. Can you just elaborate a little bit on what that was?
Newspaper articles, and advertisements. We did a mailer, direct mailer, that was very effective. We did a second mailer to our CareFair customers to try and spur them. And that's what the survey results, and you can look at those in that evaluation. That's what it was.
Do you have
the
opposite of the position that charging
in certain apartment
buildings is not
enough to
crack?
Oh, yes.
Did you crack that
one? No. No, the issues with multifamily are myriad. There's no incentive, incentive is the right word for the owners to do this, to spend money on capital. The American Disability Act issues are very difficult. You're going to concentrate in one area, you want to concentrate as many charges in one area, but if it's a large multifamily situation, then you have to provide AGA access for the entire to that site. It just gets very difficult. We are trying to crack that nut, but I think it's going to take the combined efforts of all the CCA's programs plans to put together to get that. Yeah.
I just wanted to go back to the dealers, and you know, you selected one dealer.
And the reason for that, again, was to promote that competition and have them competing against each other to give us the best price for our customers. And again, talking to those dealers that were successful, so the reason that their price was as low as it was is that they didn't have to compete with the other dealers. Once the customer came in the door, they knew the price was pre-negotiated. There was not a lot of back and forth in the shop. It saved them.
Couple of questions. Can you clarify within all the incentives that were offered, which ones necessitated a participant to be a SCP customer?
Only the incentive that we provided. So any customer, PG&E customer, could come in, and if they were negotiating with the dealer, they could negotiate the same deal that our customers got, but they wouldn't get our incentive.
Okay.
Only our customers.
And then you mentioned the challenges of having to retrain salesmen. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned the challenge with Mendocino County where they didn't want to, I guess, pay the expense of training the service technician staff to learn about the new drive frames and the new vehicle design. Have you given much thought to potentials for workforce development and how that might play into?
We've been talking to our local junior colleges about that, but nothing has come out of that as yet. The North Bay Electric Automobile Association also has classes at the junior college on converting ICE engines into electric vehicles. So there is some of that going on. And we also have a program with a company called Switch, which builds an electric kit car that we've placed in a number of high schools. And then each year they build the car, drive it around, and take it apart for the next year's class to build the car again. And that's been fairly successful as well. Mm-hmm.
How did you handle the eligibility of, say, housemates? One of them pays the electrical bill, and their name's on the bill, but the other one is, you know, maybe has a different name, not related, but it's still your customer receiving your electricity, but they don't have a bill in their name.
Very difficult question. I think we had to have the name on the bill.
Okay. Yeah. So the housemate wouldn't qualify then?
I think if you could prove a relation, then we could, we had kind of a workaround for that.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't think, just like a roommate situation, we were going to go down that path.
Yeah, okay.
Did I hear you correctly saying that you don't think you're going to keep doing drive evergreen because you feel the market transformation? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, and what we want to do with these funds is we're going to start concentrating more on infrastructure.
Okay.
Getting into the workplace charging, getting into more family charging, just more charging in general to get that out there.
So that's generally what you see as kind of the successor to this, where you focus more on?
Yes. One last thing we're doing is, you may have heard that Uber is providing incentives to some of their drivers. We're in the final stage of contracting with Uber to do the same as Snowman and Snow County. So we're going to offer $1 per ride to any Uber driver that's driving an EV, up to $100 a month.
Does Uber talk to you about have their own fleet, or are they still just talking about their driver?
I'm just talking right now about trips in EVs in Snowman and Snow County.
I visited UC San Diego. They have a microgrid testing going on right now. And they have EVs and charging stations. Free supercharging, actually. But they have two different rates of charging. One which takes 6 hours or 4 hours. Not charges are the same. Like it's still supercharged. The other one is 30 minutes or something like that. And I checked with the administrator, just like you are a director of the program, that what is the difference that you're talking about? They're using those car batteries as storage during the time the car is connected.
Yep.
So it's going back and forth in order to smooth out some of the spikes, like we're talking about.
Yep.
At the end of the time, the car is charged. But during that time, it is serving both as a receiver as well as provider of electricity.
Yep.
Have you thought something?
Oh yeah, that's the holy grail of electric vehicles. Excuse me, we definitely are interested in doing something similar to that. With our Grid Savvy project, we're only affecting the rate of charge at this lot of the vehicles manufacturers are very concerned about warranty issues if there's cycling of those car batteries. So we haven't dealt quite that deep into the problem.
Have you guys looked at all at signage, like wayfinding signage, as a potential way to encourage EV adoption? Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of people say that the barrier is that the public just doesn't perceive there's any publicly available charging.
Yeah.
And they're really, I've never heard of a pilot yet where there are signs just like at the freeway exit, oh, Sonoma, you're entering Sonoma, we have 540 public chargers, and then there's some wayfinding.
Yes, I imagine that will be part of our next phase, as we have a very active transportation authority, and they also are the regional climate protection authority, so they wear two hats. So that's great for us because we've married the transportation sector with the climate protection. So we work with them very closely on where to site charging stations, and they are very interested in the wayfinding.
Another authority to talk about is building authorities, building officials. Calgary has the closest thing I've seen to sticks in terms of making some multifamily units, at least it's all the infrastructure, not the chargers themselves. Have you talked at all to local building officials about enforcing Calgary or about pushing beyond Calgary even to try to, I mean, there's no carrots for the apartment owners, but there could be sticks.
We are active. We go to the monthly meetings of the building officials in our area. I don't believe we've pushed quite that hard yet. We're still in the getting to know you phase. As you know, building officials are a notoriously conservative bunch, and they're still just getting over the dealing with firefighters and permitting for the solar on the roofs. So, but we do talk to them about learning about charging stations and about how they work. So the answer is yes, we're cautiously infiltrating that arena.
And they're proceeding as cautiously as I would expect local officials to proceed. Any other questions?
I just want to say thank you. This is really valuable information, really important for us to have it, for you to socialize it so that other CCAs can discuss it. We can learn from what you did that was right and learn from what you did that you could have improved on. It's a really exciting program. I think it's a really big deal that you did it and a big deal that you're here presenting it to us. Thank you.
Well, very happy to do so. This just goes back to my days of forming CCAs and traveling all over the state and talking about that. So this is just the next step.
Yeah, if there's no other questions, then yes,